This is the RightsCast Network at rightscast.net. Who survives when an internet access brain implant pits spouse against spouse, brother against sister, and governments against their people? Honor the past, embrace the present, and seize the future with R.R. Campbell's Mourning Dove, the second installment in his epic empathy sci-fi saga. Now available from Nine Star Press. For more, visit empathyseries.com. Can be a daunting place, particularly when it comes time to find new readers for your work and market your books to them. How can we break through? Well, today's guest has thoughts on emphasizing local readers instead and how that readership might, over time, help us reach prospective readers farther from home. Hey there, I'm author, editor, and RightsCast Network founder R.R. Campbell, and welcome to episode 58 of your listener-supported R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network. Today's guest is M.D. New, an LGBTQIA fiction writer with a love for writing and travel. Living in the heart of Silicon Valley and growing up around technology, he's always been fascinated with what could be. Specifically drawn to science fiction and paranormal television and novels, M.D. New was inspired by the great Gene Roddenberry, George Lucas, Stephen King, Alice Walker, Alfred Hitchcock, the list goes on. The first two installments of his science fiction series, A New World, are available now with Nine Star Press. All right, let's get right into talking about the importance of growing locally with author M.D. New. Stay tuned after our conversation for updates on future episodes of RightsCast Network programming. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Marvin, to the R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network. It is a pleasure to have you here for your very first episode on our programming.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this conversation because I think it's going to be of value not only to our listeners, but this is something that I think both you and I have some experience with directly. And that, of course, is trying to grow our readership locally. So why don't I start by turning it over to you, of course. Why should authors consider prioritizing growing their readership locally as opposed to going for, you know, a big widespread national campaign right away?
Well, I think that... And first, I do want to say thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it, Ryan. Been looking forward to this. So I think why it is important, for one, writers in general, including myself, and I don't know if this is true for you, writers just want to write. Writers don't, you know, we don't really think about what we do once we have the manuscript and once we have that book out there. So I think that, you know, anything that we can do to really kind of slowly build up that readership even before the books come out is important, and locally is really the most cost-effective way that I believe that we can do it. Plus it shows things like hometown pride. I mean, everybody loves to have a local hero, and there are some communities, small or large, where writers just kind of get lost in the background because we don't make our presence known. But I think that people in general, if they knew about you, knew about your work, they would rally behind you. And the best people to do that would, of course, be the folks around you, in your neighborhood, in your community. It also creates, you know, it's a great place to start get your super fans and create some media buzz. Local media love, you know, local authors, local artists, local celebrities. They tend to really favor that type of environment, and it does give them ways to promote the community in which they live in as well. And you know, it becomes, and you become a bigger part of the community. You become, in some aspects, a local expert, whatever it is that you're writing about, which does help, again, engage more readers. It's all about, you know, starting to build that fan base. And you're not going to do it with a huge national campaign. I mean, you might. But the reality is that if you can start local and get everybody in your community behind you, It just it builds on itself. So people will see it from outside the area and go, oh, hey, there's this author R.R. Campbell or this author M.D. New in San Jose or wherever, and you know, hey, what, you know, they've gotten a lot of recognition there. What's going on? You know, it makes that draw. So that's part of the reason why I think that it is really important for authors to kind of grow a local readership, like we said in the question.
Yeah, and it really does seem that there is some very obvious value in growing locally, especially now that you've kind of laid that out for us. I think the natural follow-up to that, of course, then, is how. You know, what are some strategies that a writer might employ to start becoming more involved in the local community and raising their profile in that community?
Well, I think in general, and a lot of this is going to be trial and error, because what works for some people doesn't always work for others. And it, again, depends on the community. And it's also going to depend on what you're writing. I think when it comes to strategies, they're a variety. You know, local libraries, local events, sometimes you have local coffee shops that do an open mic, or you have bookstores, high schools, colleges, anything along those lines where you can get in front of people that have an interest in the arts, interest in writing. And let's not forget that writing is an art. And that's sometimes something that people kind of downplay. There are also most towns, most communities, most counties will do things like arts and crafts fair, pride events, cons, book clubs, those types of things, which provide local authors an opportunity to get out there in front of people. Is it going to work for everything? Is it going to be one of those moments that people can jump in and say, yes, we're going to go do this and it's going to be phenomenal? And all of a sudden you get the price tag and go, oh my God, it's going to cost me $500 for a booth. Well, now I've got to really think about that. So it comes to some of those things of just trying to get out there in front of people. If you're like me and you're not a academic, or if you don't have inroads in academia, it can be challenging. It can be a lot harder because you have to prove that you have a value to the greater community. You have to ask yourself, why would somebody want to come and listen to me? What am I offering? What is it that I can talk about? You know, if I write a great science fiction book, right, is that going to be enough? Is there a science fiction community here that I can dive into, that I can make inroads with? And like I said, it's a slow process, but you have to start somewhere. And that's why I think being local is the best way to do it, because you can try all these different things. And if something doesn't work, then you can try something different and you can reevaluate.
Right. And I think something that's really resonating with me as you speak there is, how do we show that we have an importance that's going to be noteworthy enough to kind of get in front of these folks? You mentioned specifically writing a science fiction novel, and you can write a really thrilling bit of science fiction or a very thought-provoking work of science fiction, but is that enough, right? And I think that's where we as writers can start taking a look at things like theme a bit more. You know, what is the theme of our work? What is the takeaway that we want readers to have? And then using that perhaps as the platform on top of which we stand when we're saying, hey, this book is worth checking out because it emphasizes this, that, and the other. Plot is a wonderful thing, of course. It's a really great way to hook people and bring them, you know, bring some interest to the story and to your characters. But I think at the same time, and perhaps you've had experiences with this as well, you know, using theme and some of how our story might be applicable to what's going on in our world today, those might be really good ways to get the attention of people who are holding these events or who have venues available for writers to have these events at.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I kind of specifically mentioned sci-fi, because I know that we both have sci-fi books out there. One of the things that I really liked about Imminent Dawn, and I'm sure you'll follow through with Morning Dove, is that one of the things that you're focusing on, at least in my opinion after reading Imminent Dawn, is our relationship with the internet, with these online communities, with connectivity, with being everywhere. I mean, all of a sudden you have, you know, you can sit down at your computer, you can type a search, and you can talk to somebody halfway across the country. Well, you're taking it to a whole other level where now you got something that's planted in somebody's brain, and I don't want to give too much away, so if I am giving something away, so please just stop me. And what are those ramifications? You're taking a technology that we all know, work with, and have had around for close to probably 15, 20 years now in one form or another, and taking it to that next level where all of a sudden you don't really have privacy anymore. I mean, we don't really have a lot of privacy now, but you take it to where all of a sudden it's a brain implant, and how does that affect privacy? And so it's asking those questions. And I think that in specifically in your case, I think that what's appealing to it, why somebody would want to talk about that, is because you're saying, hey, in 5 years, this could be our future. And what do we think about this? And you're raising some really important questions. That makes it relevant to today.
Yeah, and I really thank you for that, because that is something that I'm trying to emphasize as I reach out into my local community. And one of the ways that I have been reaching out into the community, in at least in Wisconsin, where I am based out of course, we're talking about a statewide community. It isn't city specific, for example, but that's something that I emphasize. When I put together a press release and contact a paper in a town where I'm going to be holding an event, for example, I really want to bring out those themes. And I'm kind of curious, in your case, when you've had events going up, or you're just trying to reach out into the community in general, have you kind of taken an approach that is based on, contact maybe someone by phone or email, maybe putting together that press release, or maybe just putting it on their radar? What does that strategy really look like for you?
So for me, obviously my science fiction books and my works is a little bit different. I take a different approach. Mine tends to be much more focused along immigration and refugee. I've got aliens that come to our world not to invade, but needing our help. They have no home world to go to. They have nowhere else to go. Their fleet of ships are starting to break down. They need our help, and they're knocking on our door. It is something that we cannot ignore. It is something that we can't just brush aside. It's something that we have to deal with. And in that respect, it's very reflective of what's going on today. So my strategy has been to really emphasize that and to try and get it out there. Of course, unlike you, I live in a major metropolitan area with, media outlets that really, they have been supportive in some regard, but, it unfortunately, I can't, I'm trying to break through that. Hey, you got some things that reflect what's happening today, and you might like it. So it's a little bit of a challenge. I'm sure you're having the same challenge as well. You're trying to get it out there. But the media here are much more focused on, Google, right? Building a million square feet of, housing and business right in downtown San Jose. That's going to take a higher precedent than my science fiction book dealing with immigration and refugees, even though immigration and refugees are a huge topic right now, not only locally, but globally and nationally. And so I've really been trying to hammer that home, and I've had some success, not a lot as much as I would like, but it is just trying to keep building on that, because I think that that's such an important theme. And I would like to think that the media, considering the amount of play that it gets, is also an important theme. But, hey, different things take precedent, right?
Right. And there's also something to be said for kind of like as we go about drafting our novels, we have to really be persistent. We have to believe in our work. And, that attitude really has to be transferred from the actual writing process and into this publicity and into this growing readership stage. We're going to have setbacks along the way. It took quite a while, I know, for me to finally have a little bit of a breakthrough and get a feature in a local paper, for example. But once you start to get one or two little features here or there, you can start kind of using that as a way to establish credibility and then bring those things up when you're approaching a new news outlet, for example. All you have to do is just remember, a rejection here or there or not hearing back from anyone here or there doesn't mean that your book or its themes or what it's trying to say in the way of commentary isn't valid. As you've said, matters pertaining to immigration and refugees are a huge deal right now. Matters pertaining to privacy and how we interact with one another on the internet, a huge deal right now. Just because our book isn't chosen to be representative of that to some extent doesn't mean that we're not doing a great job presenting it. It just means, like you said, maybe something else is taking precedent for now, and we have to kind of be okay with that.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the other thing, is we can't let you know, like you said, rejections or anything like that, you know, stop us, because it doesn't mean that it's not important. You have to keep, you know, getting it out there. I write, you know, I've had a couple press releases out. I've had one picked up by the San Jose Mercury News. The San Jose Mercury News did an amazing article on me for my first book launch of my vampire novel. This was last year. You know, they did a phenomenal write-up of me. You know, the cultural person came to the event and we had a great conversation. So it works. It all depends on what's happening that day, you know, because if something were to have happened nationally or globally, you know, an example is the tragedy in Paris with the fire at the Notre Dame, or the psychopath who burnt down the churches in Louisiana, you know, that all of a sudden takes precedent and everything else falls aside. So people, they can't feel like, oh, they didn't like me, and now I'm just going to go back. No, you got to keep going. You build up that media list. You build up your media contacts. You don't pester them every week, but when you have something major going on or a huge announcement, you write up a press release. If you don't know how to write a press release, you look online and you get some template press releases, and you kind of follow that, and you get it out there, and you see what – you never know. Maybe something will hit. I've been very lucky. We have a gay TV show out here that LGBTQ TV show out here called Outlook Video that's had me on the show twice now. You know, so it's all because of those smaller things that I've done, and probably having the write-up in the Mercury News that's helped get me onto that. So I think that, you know, even these little things that we do, they build, like you said. It creates credibility. It creates a little bit of buzz around you. So if something big doesn't hit one day, maybe in a month, it might.
With that, let's pause for a moment for a brief word from, well, me. Your book, Our Airwaves, Yes, It's True, Anything is Possible When You Advertise with the RightsCast Network. Hey there, I'm R.R. Campbell, RightsCast Network founder, and I'm here to let you know that you can now advertise your book, podcast, editing services, whatever creative endeavor, you can advertise it here on the RightsCast Network. Not only that, but you can advertise with us for less than a dollar a month. Yes, we offer packages for as little as less than a dollar a month. So get your book, your editing services, podcast, what have you, introduced to hundreds of new listeners by advertising with us today at rightscast.net/advertise, or email me at rightscast@gmail.com, and we can get started. Let's make it happen for you and your creative endeavors. That's your book, Our Airwaves, rightscast.net/advertise. Exactly. That's exactly right. And one thing that I think we've both mentioned a couple of times over the course of this conversation is a press release. But I'm kind of curious to know, in your view, outside of having a press release prepared or feeling comfortable writing one using some of those templates we might find online, is there anything we physically need or should consider getting, aside from our books, of course, to start growing our readership locally?
So, yes. There are, and there are some very cost-effective things that people can do. Obviously, there are more expensive things that people can do, but I think the basics, right? Business cards are an absolute must. When you're talking to somebody, you tell them, hey, I'm a writer, and they're like, wow, really? I had this happen when I was in Anaheim at Disneyland. I was waiting, you know, long story, waiting in line for the Peter Pan ride. Yes, I am that kind of nerd. My husband and I were waiting in line, and we're just striking up a conversation with this woman. And we're talking, and it came, and, you know, I mentioned that I am an author and that I write, and she was like, oh, really? What do you write? And so we're talking about it. And she said, oh, I've heard of Nine Star Press. They're one of the ones that I tell my students about. And I was like, oh, really? You're an instructor. She said, yeah, I'm blanking on what her title is, but for one of the local colleges there in Southern California. She said, do you have a business card? I said, as a matter of fact, I do. I gave her my business card. She said, oh, this is great. I'm going to look you up and all this, you know, we'll talk more and so forth and so on. You just don't know when something like that's going to happen. So make sure you have business cards. That's absolutely at the bare minimum. Make sure you have that. Some other things that I think are important for people to have are, everybody likes some swag. Bookmarks are key, especially if you're going to be putting together, just something to give people away. Like, I always put a book card, or a book card, a bookmark in every book that I sign. So when I'm doing a signing, I put a bookmark in there, and it's got my website, where I can be found on Instagram, where I can be found on Facebook, and where I can be found on Twitter. It's got all of that on there. So it's just another, it's a soft touch, right? So it's somebody will get the book and they'll look, oh yeah, he's on Facebook, oh, I should look him up, or oh, he's got a website, I should look that up. And then when they go to the website, they see that I have a blog, and maybe that's interesting to them. Some other things are media kit. A lot of people, a lot of authors I know, don't do media kits. Media kits are so easy. They're something like a business card. It's one of those things that it doesn't take a lot of money to put together. You need a bio, you need your contact information, sample Q&A, something that you can put together, any press release that you've done, your photos, a sell sheet. If you don't know what a sell sheet is, it's a one page document about your book. It's got a little bit about you, got maybe some reviews, the blurb of the book, the cover, and then a book excerpt. It's something as simple as that. So when you do go and talk to people, or when you do make that pitch to the local media, or when you go to the library, or when you go to a coffee shop, or when you go to anywhere that you want to try and get them to host you or have you or let you come and speak to their people, you can hand it to them. It makes you look more professional. It makes you look more polished. And it gives you that authenticity that they'll look at and go, wow, this person really has it together. I mean, oh, look at this. I didn't know that they did, have five books, or I didn't know that they were featured in, the local newspaper, or on this media magazine, or whatever. It just adds so much more authenticity to what you're doing, and it doesn't hurt to give them a free copy of your book. I know that sounds almost blasphemy sometimes, but it's part of that professional presence that we want to show that we have. Another thing that I always like to tell people to do is, especially for book signings, and I think you've done this, I think you've had some great ones too, the book posters. You go to a Kinko's or a local print house and have them make up, take your cover art and have them make up a nice poster that you can take with you when you go to events, and all of a sudden there's a big blow up of your book, and it makes for great photo ops for you, makes great photo ops for the people, and it definitely shows off your work. And then any type of giveaways that you can do, buttons, pins, stickers, anything along those lines that all helps promote your branding. Make sure that it has things like, at the very minimum, like your website, but always try and have like your social media links, anything like that, I think really kind of helps, again, consolidate you and gets you out there, because every soft touch you make with somebody is just another opportunity for them to check you out, especially when you have something new.
Yeah, and those are all really great things to, make sure that we either have available or at least consider having available as we continue to grow. And perhaps, once we start selling a couple books, we're in a position to invest a little bit more in some of that swag. And I'll just say there's a couple other things that I've come into recently, or that I'm going to see what value there is in those. And that is, you mentioned putting a bookmark in every book that you sign, for example. I also like to include a small quarter page piece of paper with five tips for supporting local authors. And what I'll do is I'll take that piece of paper and I'll put it right near the end of the book, perhaps right after the final page, because that is where I encourage them to leave a review, to tell their friends and family, to possibly request this book at their local library so that it can start to be, featured and get into the library system. I'll, double down on this. Let's join the conversation. You can follow me on these particular social media platforms. And also, just sharing the book's website is a really great way to show your support for this book that you've just read and hopefully, of course, enjoyed. So I always like to include something like that. And then as conference season sort of gets going here, I will actually be speaking at WISCON at the end of May. That's Memorial Day weekend. And one of the things that I'm going to be bringing to that, aside, from the things that you mentioned, including those book posters, et cetera, I got a table runner printed. And so that'll kind of hang over the table where I will also be selling books. There's, of course, the covers of the books, the name of the series. There's some snippets from favorable reviews that I've included on that. And I also got some paper bags, recyclable paper bags made up so that when people come to my table at the conference, if they do buy a copy of the book, they don't have to like carry it around all day, kind of like fumbling with it. It can be put inside a bag that is branded according to the series. It's also branded with everything that we need in terms of, again, including favorable reviews. They'll carry that with them to and from sessions over the course of the conference. It gets in front of more people's eyes. They come see your table later, etc. So it's all about trying to turn some of those early book purchases, I think, into capital that you can use to sort of further stimulate sales later on when you are doing these events in your local community or outside of it eventually as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that because that is something that I'm currently working on myself. I realized that when I was putting everything together that I never put a piece like what you mentioned in the back of the book, like, hey, you know, review my book here, blah, blah, blah. And I was like going, you know, dummy, you should have done that. And so I'm working with a graphic designer now to kind of create something to actually do just what you said, because that is so important, because people don't always think to reviews, to review or to support. And that's another thing where if we can jump back up to the local building a local community, that's something that if you get that local community behind you, that's something that you can constantly encourage them to do. And what makes it nice is you can also pester them. You know, that sounds terrible because no one likes to be a pest about it. But you can. There are subtle ways to remind people. You know, you see your family and you see your friends. Oh, I know that you guys bought the book and I hope you really liked it. By any chance, did you get a chance to review it? Well, you can't always do that outside of your local area, but you can do it in your local area. So it's just another way to do that and to continue the conversation, like you said. And so I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I totally forgot to put that in my notes. And I like the idea of the bags. That is really a cool idea. I'm going to have to look into that myself, because I've got some events coming up that I think that doing some bags like that would make, it'll be interesting to see how much of a difference that makes.
Right. And it's something too that I kind of plan on using only in select situations, right? So at a conference, especially if it's a multi-day event where people are going to be coming and going, or they're going to be coming in and out of the same halls over the course of, you know, an 8 to 10 hour day, there's a lot of value in those bags then, because they're going to carry it with them. If I'm just doing something at maybe a bookstore and it's a single night event, or a single morning event, for example, I might not bring those bags, only because if I give it to them, they're probably just going to end up going straight home with it. And once it's at home, they might recycle the bag, etc. And I want to make sure that I get the best bang for my buck possible, so to speak. So that's kind of the strategy that I think I'm going to try to employ with those. I took this hint from Nick Chiarkis, who was at the University of Wisconsin Writers Institute a couple of weeks ago. We were part of the same book event, and I noticed that he had those. I noticed the bags going around over the course of the day, and I was like, oh, this guy, he is next level. And so I'm ready to take that on. We'll see how it goes.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that too, because nothing that we're saying is original. Right, we're not stealing. We're borrowing
right.
These wonderful ideas that other people before us have done. And that's the other thing, is I tell my author friends and I tell people who really kind of want to jump into the writing community, is look who your idols are in the writing community and see what they have done. Now, you're probably not going to be able to do everything, but things like what you just mentioned, a book bag or a bag like that, brilliant. I don't know what the cost is. I don't know how much they cost. My guess is like much swag. It's probably a volume thing where, you know, the more you buy, the cheaper it gets. But it's one of those things to look into. It's like, hey, you know, that is a brilliant idea. I can do that. You know, and it's not new. And so look what other people are doing. See what works for them. See what excites you and copy it.
Exactly. I mean, it's just about learning what has worked successfully for other folks, particularly if they are writing in the same genre, if we might have a similar audience. And those can be really effective ways to grow locally at first, of course, but also to just reinforce that branding and perhaps spread it a bit wider than the local community too. And one thing I think I kind of want to come back to here now, we've been talking about events, we've mentioned some conferences, etc., but hosting events, you know, being the individual who kind of puts it together, whether it's through reaching out to a bookstore or a community center or a coffee shop, what have you, that's a really big part of this. Are there any tips that you have for either setting up or being part of events?
Oh man, it is such a big thing. It is something that we all forget, but we don't all forget it. I shouldn't say we all forget it. It's the one thing that most authors think about. It's like, oh yeah, let's do a book signing. But they don't always realize how much goes into it. Some people, you know, the stars align and it works out perfectly. Other people really have to sit down and kind of figure it out. When it comes to some tips that I have, I like to go with, you know, things that are, one, find a location that you're comfortable in. Whatever that location is, if you're comfortable there, it's going to reflect in how you talk and deal with people. If you're not the type of person who wants to stand in front of a group of 300 people and talk to them, then by God, don't do that.
Right.
You know, but if you can do a small venue where you have 40 people or 30 people, family and friends that you're comfortable with, do that. Because it still has the same effect. You can still take pictures, you can still do video, you can still post it online. I mean, it just, all that stuff that you do there, you just scale up depending on your comfort level. So find an area that you're a place that you're comfortable in. Find a location that's different. A lot of people think that these are bookstores or libraries, but they don't have to be. Think about some place that might reflect your story, might be a fun location. Do you have friends who have a community room that, you know, somehow kind of looks, you know, especially if it was built in the 60s, let's say, and kind of that retro modern kind of look that kind of has that sci-fi-esque sort of lens to it? You know, when you're writing a sci-fi book, that might be perfect. Do you know friends who have a place that is much more formal or looks a little creepy or something like that where you could kind of do some very basic staging and gives you that feel of your book? I think that that's something that really some people don't always think about. It was like, well, you know, my book takes place in a large metropolitan city. Then maybe have a book event downtown. Find a location, friends, your company, friends of a friend. Friends might work in an office building downtown that have a room that you can borrow that all of a sudden kind of presents that image of your book. And I think that that's really something that can stand out. The other important thing that I always try and remind people, and I think most people know this, is food and booze.
Right, yes.
You want to get people to an event, food and booze. It doesn't have to be anything expensive. It doesn't have to be a lot. But food and booze. Food and booze will get people there and get people talking. You know, it's just one of those things that you sit there and go, okay, you know, hey, food and booze. Costco is great. Grocery stores all have party platters that you can get and things like that, and you can transfer them to nice plates, and it works out, and nobody knows any different. The other thing that people often need to think about is, you're great, you're amazing, you're fantastic, but it goes back up to that draw. Are you going to be enough to get people there, to get people interested? So one of the things that I did, because when I first, you know, my first book premiered last year, I knew nobody knew me, but I had a friend whose wife is an editor in a totally different genre, does nothing similar to what I do, but she's an editor and she's worked in the publishing industry forever. I asked her, I said, hey, would you come and do a 5-minute talk on publishing and editing, and then would you introduce me? And she said, absolutely. That would be amazing. I love the idea. Yes, let's do that. So for the first event, I had her come. Her name is Jean. She spoke a little longer than 5 minutes, but that was fine. She spoke about what it's like to be an author, to be what it's like to do this, and her talk was amazing because it hit so many things that authors go through that people don't realize, you know, how it's a solitary work, how, you know, we spend so many hours doing this that we're away from our family and friends, and we kind of, you know, we put everything we have into this, and why it's important for our family and friends to not only thank them, but to also have their support. And so she did this beautiful talk, and it was wonderful. For this last book, my last book launch, I was very lucky to have our head librarian for the city of San Jose, Jill Bourne, come and speak at the book signing. So, it's finding people who can attract other people than your friends and family. So I always encourage people that if you're going to do this, have somebody who's a keynote, somebody that can come in, talk for 5 minutes, who you can chit chat with. It's great for photo ops. It's great for all of that. They talk, they introduce you, you do your spiel, and everybody has, you know, some people have learned something, everybody had a, it's much more of an event.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning into this conversation. We will be right back with it in a moment. Four people, one study, the internet access brain implant to bind or destroy them all. Now available in print and ebook from author R.R. Campbell and Nine Star Press, it's Imminent Dawn, the first book in the epic empathy sci-fi saga. Learn more about the book reviewers are calling freaking sci-fi Game of Thrones and an incisive techno-thriller that gets more tense with every page by visiting empathyseries.com. That's empathyseries.com. Yeah, it really is. And in my experience, I really couldn't agree more. When I had my very first book launch, I made sure to host it at a venue where it would be easy to accommodate food and drink for those in attendance. And it was a very well-attended event. And I made sure to choose a venue that suited the book more or less. That was, of course, outside my science fiction series. This was the launch event for Accounting for It All. And then when it came time to hold a book launch for Imminent Dawn, I thought, hey, you know, I'm going to try something a little bit different. I kind of liked what a local community center had to offer in terms of environment and said, hey, let's go ahead and use this community center for the launch of the science fiction series. And I'm trying a couple different things here and there. It's all about experimentation. It's all about finding what works for us. I think you make a lot of really great points. And I'll say this for listeners who want to do a deep dive into how to plan for a book launch party. I actually do have an episode specifically about that topic. It is RightsCast episode number 48 called So You're Planning a Book Launch Party. And you can find that episode at rightscast.net/podcasts/rightscast. Talks about a lot of things that Marvin has mentioned here, but it's about a half hour specifically on book launch parties, etc. So there's really so much to be said. And I think that, you know, we've covered it in nice detail here, but there's always a chance to dig further into this stuff, as we know. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And talking, of course, you know, about these events, we're looking at it through the lens of a book launch, you know, like a single solitary event. But of course, there's this idea too that we could perhaps try to get ourselves on a book tour of sorts. Is that something that you have any experience with or something that you've considered? And then maybe why or why not?
I have absolutely tried, considered it. I've tried multiple times to try and set something up, and I will be completely honest, I have had zero success. I have gone to all my local bookstores. I have gone and talked to them. I have done everything that we said prior, like all the stuff that I've thrown out there about, oh, take the media kit, do this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I have tried everything, and I cannot for the life of me get any of these people to one, even contact me back, which has been very disappointing, because, you know, it's like, you know, it does, it makes you question everything that I'm doing. It's like, God, am I not doing this right? Have I done something wrong? You know, what's going on here? So I've had absolutely no success, none, zero zip zilch.
And that is, like we said earlier, you know, that can be really just part of the journey. I think that I have found in attempting to work with bookstores that, you know, as with all things in writing, persistence is super key. And also timing is especially important when it comes to working with bookstores. For example, with the launch of Accounting for It All, that book came out in November, right in the heart of like mid-November, right before everything was going to be going on sale and bookstores were going to get all sorts of packed to push through the end of the year and through the holiday season. And I had an impossible time actually getting a hold of anyone at any bookstore, including one that I am on good terms with in my local community. And it just was because they were swamped. Then I found as 2019 kind of kicked off and I was getting ready for the launch of Imminent Dawn and looking forward to Mourning Dove, which is of course now available, I thought, okay, we're going to give this another shot. I tried a handful of bookstores in a few different cities throughout the state of Wisconsin. I had a couple people get back to me, but I had to be, it took a couple weeks of like, you know, me sending emails to them to get a response. And then I actually was fortunate enough to have my wife step in as the quote unquote author's representative, because she is much more comfortable on the phone than I am. And then she started making phone calls to some of the places that I had emailed previously. And through those combined efforts and, you know, just that and good timing, we were able to get a handful of events set up across the state of Wisconsin for this spring. And I later went on to learn that one of the bookstores I was trying to work with in Madison, they're so overwhelmed with requests for book events that right now, we're recording this in April, they're already booked through September of this year. So one thing that's really important to keep in mind, whether it's for an event you want to hold at a bookstore, or if you want to try and set yourself up for a book tour, really try to get an early start. You know, it might seem silly to email a place about an event that you want to hold 6 months from now, but I'm already looking ahead on my calendar and saying, great, you know, Mourning Dove, here it is. It is now available. As I look forward to book three in this series, Event Horizon, coming out in late 2019, I might try to start setting up that book tour now so that we can have that all wrapped up in October before the bookstores are swamped again in November and December, and there's no chance of doing anything like that again until the spring. So, you know, I totally hear you on the very difficult task that we have in front of us and how frustrating it is when we feel like we're doing everything right and we don't hear back. But I would say for you and for listeners who might be feeling discouraged in general, timing is such a big part of this, and making sure we get in front of the right person. And a lot of it is just comes down to luck sometimes too. So boy, if there's one thing we need to learn from the world of writing, it's perseverance and persistence, right?
Oh yes, absolutely. And I couldn't agree with everything that you said more. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, okay, I've had no luck, but in my mind, it's fine. It's like, you know, this is a big area and we've got so few bookstores and so many authors that I get it. I mean, they're all swamped. They're all busy, which is why I've tried looking at other venues. It was kind of, you know, it's like, okay, well, maybe bookstores aren't going to be the right place for me right now. So I'm going to try these other things because I know that there's a market. I know people really like my books. I mean, they've gotten phenomenal reviews. The Calling has done exceedingly well. So has Contact and so has Conviction. People are just really digging both of the books. So I know that there are people who really are into it. And I know that they're at least somewhat good, if not better than good. So I know that that I've got working for me is just like you said, is hitting that right timing and not giving up. And I refuse to give up. You know, that's the big thing, is we got to keep going. Don't let these small things stumble you. Don't, you know, okay, so you can't get into a bookstore for a year and a half, but in a year and a half, you're going to be in a bookstore. Hey, that's awesome. But in the meantime, try all these other things. Like you said, keep going at it. And it's awesome that your wife has stepped in to be your champion. I think that's great. It'd be nice if I could get my husband to do that, but he's a little more shy than I am.
Just got to, you know, make an extra dinner or two once in a while, you know, just a back rub, whatever it takes, you know, we just got to have them be our champion.
Yeah, exactly. I'll figure something out. But no, he is very supportive regardless. So it works out well. But yeah, no, I do like the fact that your wife ends up being your representative and goes after those places, because that's the other thing too, is we can't do it alone.
Right. We really can't. And you know, whether it is our spouse, or I know in one case, Barbara Britton, who has been on the podcast a couple of times, she has told me by email that actually her mom is like her greatest champion at getting her book into bookstores, not even necessarily for events, but apparently her mom just has a way with bookstores that she can walk in, talk to them, or she phrases her emails the right way. And she is like the queen bee of getting books into bookstores. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. I mean, we have to rely on the folks around us who are our support network to help us see this through as well. And I know it can be tough sometimes to ask for help, or we're not sure how to approach it, or, you know, we don't want to feel like we're taking advantage of people. But for the people that really do believe in our books and believe in us as people, they want to see us succeed, because in many cases, our success is going to be their success. And there's really nothing wrong with working together to achieve those mutual goals.
Right, right. And it falls back to the first thing that we talked about, building your local community. If you can build your local community and get your super fans and get your champions out there to talk everything up, that's that, you know, talk about a marketing arm. I mean, it's not just you now out there talking about it. It's 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 other people out there talking it up. And it spreads out from there. It's like, it's so important. That's why it really does. A lot of it does fall back on building that local community, because that's where you have the greatest impact. You build it there, and then it spreads out. I mean, unless you have $1 million or more to go and do a national marketing campaign, then hey, that's fantastic, go for it. Or if you're good friends with Oprah and you can get on our book club, right?
I mean, right.
Hey, whatever it takes, right? But you got to use your local champions, and they're gonna help you. That's the thing, is they're going to, if they believe in you and they're your family and friends, they're going to be more persistent than you are, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think there's some really good truth to that. So before we part ways, Marvin, are there any final tips you'd like to offer writers who are looking to grow their readership locally?
So one is to write. Write, 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 write. Keep writing, keep writing, keep writing. Doesn't matter if you write one book or, you know, 10 books or whatever, keep writing, keep practicing, keep writing, keep improving, because the more you write, the more you get out there, hopefully, the more people will find you. That is absolutely key. The other is don't be afraid to try new things, and don't be afraid to fail. I can't tell you how many times I've failed epically. I mean, if I could write a book on failure, I would have 1,000 pages easy. I mean, it's you're going to fail. You're going to fall down. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to screw something up. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to piss somebody off. It's all part of learning, but don't be afraid of it. Keep trying. Keep going. The other thing is whenever you have an event, invite all the people that you talk to and invite the people who told you no. That sounds crazy, and people go, why would I – because one, you want to show them that you don't take it personal that they told you no. You are presenting yourself to the world. You want to show yourself in the best possible light. And the best way to do that is to anybody who told you no, whenever you have the opportunity to invite them to something that you're doing, do it. And don't do it in a way of, ha, 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 I told you. Do it in a sincere way of, it would be great to have you there, type of thing. Because at some point, that no might turn into a yes, and you want to keep that momentum going. And so I think that those are really kind of the key. Oh, and also keep reading. Read stuff. Read the good, the bad, and the ugly. Read it all. If you can become a judge for a contest, that's great. If you can review other people's books, do that. Any opportunity you have to read something, read it. Read different genres than you, because that's a great way to learn.
Yeah, I think those are all some really wonderful tips, some really great takeaways here from you, Marvin. So thank you so much for joining me for this conversation.
Hey, thank you for having me and letting me ramble on.
And there you have it, another R.R. Campbell Writescast episode in the books. Thanks to MD New for joining me for this episode, and thanks to you, dear listeners, for tuning in. Of course, I owe a great deal of thanks to Laura Hazen, Kristen Oakley, and all of the Writescast Network's patrons at patreon.com/writescast, where Kristen, Laura, and a number of others have pledged to support Writescast Network programming on a per-episode or per-month basis. Their support not only goes a long way into helping the Writescast Network become self-sustaining, but it also earns them wonderful patron rewards like discounts on my editing services, early ad-free access to every episode, Writescast swag, and more. If you'd like to become a RightsCast Network patron for $1, $2, or $3 per month, or even per episode, you can learn more and pledge your support at patreon.com/rightscast. That's patreon.com/rightscast. We have the next couple of weeks off here on the RightsCast Network, but we'll be back on the first Friday in June with a new episode of the R.R. Campbell RightsCast. To stay up to date with who our guest will be and what we'll cover, be sure to visit rightscast.net/blog. That's rightscast.net/blog. Until that episode debuts, you can find us online at rightscast.net, of course, or on Twitter as RightsCast. I can be found on my author website at rrcampbellwrites.com or on Twitter as IamRRCampbell. That's a wrap. Until Friday, June 7th, 2019, this is R.R. Campbell signing off. Write on and write well. This is the RightsCast Network at rightscast.net.